Chapter 18. The Hopeless City. Gardas heaved the last of the ratkin overboard and looked up as a shadow swept over him.
Enyo, what news? Is the path clear? Is our quarry at hand?
The way ahead is blocked, Enyo said.
The Night Venator dropped to the deck, folding her wings behind her.
Our quarry has escaped, and the Skaven seem to have turned their full attention to us.
She pointed to the vessels lurching towards the galley. The barges were inelegant things, even in comparison to their commandeered galley. Flat and low, their motion was controlled by creaking paddle wheels that struck the water inharmoniously. The sound of it merged with the clangor of bells that hung from their hulls and masts and sent discordant echoes shivering through the close air.
A trap,
Karok said, scraping blood from his armor. He was covered in gore. None of it his.
They seek to drown us in rat flesh.
The knight Azeroth sounded eager. Gardas gave him a wary glance. Karok was one of the faithful, but his faith was a thing of sharp edges and searing heat, of judgment and sentencing, and it seemed to grow worse with time. He was the tip of the God King's spear, meant only for drawing blood. Gardas waved him to silence.
And our prey? Where has it gone?
Tegras had brought word that the galley carrying Grimm was close by and similarly afflicted by the Skaven. They now appear to have come to some accord, which boded ill for their rescue attempt. He'd hoped their quarry would be brought to bay and unable to slip away.
Speeding ahead, driven by a plague wind, Enyo said.
Her star eagle circled her, shrieking in frustration.
Some fell conjuring by the look of it.
You expected something else in this place,
Morbus said. The Lord Relictor sat slumped on the steps to the forward deck, head bowed. His armor gleamed with an azure luminosity, and the air around him stank of scorched metal and ozone.
We're running short of time. I can feel something gathering its strength, preparing itself to strike.
Gardas gave him a sharp look.
The Skaven?
Morbus shook his head.
I do not think so. They are but one piece of the whole.
He looked up. His eyes shone with a cold, eerie radiance.
We are being baited, drawn deeper and deeper into this place.
Then all of this has been a trap, Gardas said softly, and I have led us into it like a blind fool.
He watched as Solus barked an order, forming up judicators along the rail. They would scythe the life from one barge, maybe two, before the rest reached them. After that, it would be down to blade work.
It is not being a trap,
Taunus spoke up. The Knight Venator leaned on his bow, studying the approaching enemy.
Nurgle is not thinking like that. Nurgle is merely reacting. He is slow, yes? Slow of thought, slow of deed. Nurgle is being patient. If we are to be coming to him, then he is to be simply laying out a welcome.
He shrugged.
Of the four, he is being the most content in the moment. What is being will be.
That isn't exactly comforting, Gardas said.
I am not meaning it to be.
Taunus shook his head.
I am feeling him watching us.
He struck his chest with a fist.
I am feeling it in my head and in my soul, like cold water dripping through cloth.
He is right, Morbus said. Nurgle is watching us, and so far we have done exactly as he wishes. We chase, and they run. We are like the child in the fable, following the singing lights into a mire. The longer we run, the thicker the mist grows, and the deeper the mud. Soon, we might well be swallowed up.
Gardas didn't reply. He let his gaze wander over those who had chosen to follow him. Liberators plied the oars in silence, their silver armor encrusted with a black patina of filth. Others sat, slumped, heads bowed, weapons at their feet. The smell of blood and vomit was thick on the air. They'd lost 6 warriors in the attack. 6 more lives added to the burden Morbus carried. Only 30 of those who'd volunteered to come were left. And of those, a third were wounded. Worse still, the enchantments that bound their weapons were fading in this place. The quivers of his archers were slow to refill, and the shields and armor of the others were cracked and damaged by the hard fighting. Soon the magics of the 6 smiths would fade entirely, and they'd be down to rocks and harsh language. He saw Judicator scratching at a bandage around her arm, pus leaking from beneath it. Nearby, a retributor sat on the rail, cradling his head. One of the Skaven's acidic senses had shattered too close to him, and his face was a mass of weeping burns. As if sensing Gardas's attention, he raised his head, revealing eyes made opaque and sightless. Gardas looked away. They could be healed if Morbus was strong enough. But for how much longer could the Lord Relictor's prayers keep them in the fight? A liberator stood near the rail, mumbling to someone only he could see. Aishas caught him by the arm and gently pulled him away, just in case. They'd nearly lost several warriors that way, led into the darkness by ghosts from half-remembered pasts. More and more of them were seeing things that could not be, or hearing the voices of those lost centuries past. Flies crawled over their faces, mold spread across the plates of their armor, and the smell of decay hung heavy on the air. And above it all, the distant but ever-present rumble of stone grinding against stone. It was wearing them down. Nurgle was patient, Nurgle was slow, and Nurgle was inevitable. The longer they stayed here, the worse it would get. Their faith held firm for now, but soon even it would begin to crack. And as they pressed deeper and deeper, not even the radiance which infused their vessel would protect them. He heard Solus's voice crackle in command and the hiss of bowstrings, the scream of lightning as it ravaged among the enemy. In that roar, he heard the whisper of a god's voice and knew at last what he must do. He turned back to his officers. I've been down this road before. I have passed through this dark garden and into the light. I have denied our foe in his very manse, and I intend to do so again, even if it means my destruction. It is time the plague god learned that we are made of sterner stuff than he knows. We were forged in lightning and thunder, clad in starlight, and carry the heat of suns in our veins. Gardas turned, letting his light shine forth. It blazed upwards around him, casting back every shadow. It is time we showed him, showed all of the ruinous powers, not simply how the Stormcast do battle, but how the faithful wage war. He drove his runeblade point first into the deck and held his hand out to Morbus. Do you have the strength to call upon one last storm, brother? Morbus heaved himself to his feet. One more, and 1,000 others if need be. Good, for we will need them. Gardas caught Kadok by the shoulder. Fly ahead of us, and take word of our coming to the enemy, Prince of Ekron. Morbus, I can summon a storm for Kadok to drag behind him. It will collapse this part of the warren and carry us down through the next tier. The Lord Relictor's voice crackled strangely, but he sounded certain. He set aside his staff and raised his hands. Lightning writhed between his palms. As he pulled his hands apart, the lightning formed itself into the links of a flickering chain.
Lift your beacon once more, Knight Azeros.
Kadok did so. Morbus opened it and fed one end of the chain into the shimmering light. He turned swiftly, dragging the other end over his shoulder, causing it to spontaneously lengthen. Flickering loops pooled on the deck. Kadok staggered, as if the chain were connected to the interior of his beacon. He extended it out over the deck, and the light crawled across the links and spread over the deck, merging with and feeding the radiance there. Morbus turned and knelt, proffering the links to Gardas.
Take your place at the prow, steel soul. Your light will serve as our anchor.
Gardas strode towards the prow, knotting the chains about his forearms and torso as he did so. The heat of the lightning was incredible, but it did not burn him. Kadok swooped overhead, beacon extended, hauling the chain behind him. Gardas could hear Morbus beginning to chant, and the dull boom of his staff striking the deck. The heat grew more intense, as did his own radiance. He felt as if a storm were roiling within him, raging to be let free. The Skaven vessels were drawing closer, and he could make out their squeals as the light washed over them. Kadok's wings snapped out and back, and he surged forwards, pulling the chain taut. Gardas braced himself and held firm.
"Make a joyful noise, my brethren!" he called out. "Sing the war song of our storm host! Give them thunder and lightning!"
Pharos was the first. His voice rose in a hymn of reckoning, deep and low. Aishas joined him, then Tegrus and Solus. Their warriors joined them, until every voice was raised in a song of war and judgment. Stormcasts began to stamp their feet in time to the rhythm. The haft of hammers hit the deck, and warblades struck the rims of shields. The sounds merged, joining into a pulsing rumble. As it rose up and swept over him, Gardas felt the heat of the chain grow, and the silver of his gauntlets began to blacken. For a moment, there was only the thud of sigmarite and the clangor of plague bells. Then, with a deafening groan, the bow of the ship rose out of the water. Lightning raced down the chain and outwards along the rails, striking the water and turning it to steam. It lanced out, cascading across the blighted structures to either shore of the river, setting some aflame and destroying others utterly. Gardas tightened his grip on the chain. Kadok gave a great cry and swooped towards the approaching Skaven barges. From behind Gardas came the rumble of Morbus's voice as he called out,
"Who will ride the storm winds?" "Only the faithful," the others replied, as one. "Who will be the light in the darkness?" "Only the faithful."
The words echoed through Gardas, giving him strength. And as he spoke them himself, his light blazed ever more brightly. The chains tightened, the links twisted in his grip like a living thing, and the galley's stern followed the bow. The water beneath bubbled away into nothing as the galley rose fully into the air and swept after Kadok. Their hull crashed through the forest of masts, splintering them and scattering the crews of the barges. The force of their ascent set the river heaving, and great waves slammed to either side of the tunnel, flooding the caves and warrens beyond. Skaven were swept screeching into the depths as their vessels capsized, or were reduced to fragments. Gardas strained against the pull of the chain. Morbus's prayers and the song of the faithful rose to a fevered pitch, until their voices were lost in the roar of the galley's passage. Lightning streaked out from the galley, striking the walls of the tunnel or the barges below. Smoke filled the air, roiling in their wake. Kadok blazed with elemental fury, and the light from his beacon speared out to pierce the gloom ahead. The chain bowed suddenly. Gardas stiffened as a blotch of darkness swirled into being above the midpoint. It raced down towards him, gradually resolving itself into a monstrous and familiar shape. The vermin lord sped down the chain, the azure energies drawing smoke from its greasy pelt. Its monstrous form was streaked with ichor, and splinters of wood stood out from its flesh. It shrilled out a cry of challenge as it gathered itself and leapt towards him, curved blades raised. Gardas tensed, unable to risk releasing his grip on the chain to defend himself. He ducked his head, hoping that his armor would absorb the worst of the blow. Twin arrows shot past him, one on either side. The arrows punched into the vermin lord, knocking it sprawling to the deck. The curved scythe blades clattered from its grip. It shrieked in pain and clawed at the arrows embedded in its flesh. Gardas acted swiftly. He reared back and kicked it in the head, dropping it onto its back. Taunus and Ennio moved up from behind him. The Night Venators raised their bows, new arrows knocked and ready. Still holding tight to the chain, Gardas looked down at the injured demon.
"Run," he said. "Run fast and run far."
The vermin lord hissed and struggled to its hooves, bifurcated tail lashing. For a moment, he thought it might attack him. Then, with a screech of frustration, it flung itself over the prow and was gone.
You are sparing it, Tornus said.
Mercy is the sharpest blade there is, Gardas said. He lifted a loop of chain and handed it to Tornus. Lash this about the mast, he glanced at Enyo. Help Cadoc. Tornus flew back towards the mast, dragging the chain. Gardas turned, holding tight to both lengths of chain. He could feel the galley trembling beneath his feet, and he said a silent prayer that it would survive the next stage of their journey. It was no longer solely a vessel of wood and iron, but also one of faith, and only faith would sustain it. A bone-deep rumble filled the air as the galley swept on. The river below was reduced to wisps of steam by the constant barrage of lightning streaking from the hull. The cavern began to crack and crumble. Sections of stone plummeted down, only to be obliterated by the talons of celestial energy emanating from the galley. A wall of dust spewed upwards as the Skaven palisades collapsed in on themselves. The galley burst through the dust, and Gardas heard the roar of falling water. A moment later, he caught sight of the immense tangled root system that led down into the next level of the garden. It was a slumped bastion of ruptured roots, broken mountains, and crushed structures pouring down into an abyss at a gentle angle. Water flowed in crooked rivers, winding through the ruins to eventually splash into the depths. Cadoc's arc took him out over the descent. Gardas could see that the next tier began where the one above it ended. The gates of the hopeless city were almost flush with the rim of the drop. They resembled a circular trapdoor, many leagues across and covered in enormous malformations, which resembled gigantic, leering faces. Grated apertures had been built into the immense portcullis to allow for the passage of water, and crude towers rose around them, manned by legions of demons. Fascinated, despite himself, Gardas watched as the great gates creaked open to allow for the passage of a flotilla of galleys. They swung inwards and down, casting upon clouds of water vapor and startling flocks of mold-winged birds. The creatures rose in a shrieking spiral towards their galley, only to scatter as they came close. Down below, horns began to sound and warning bells tolled. Cadoc dived towards the creaking gateway, dragging the galley behind him. Gardas fought to remain standing and heard the shouts and curses of his warriors as they found themselves knocked from their feet by the sudden acceleration. Tegras and his prosecutors took to the air, swooping around the galley in a protective cordon. Their hammers spun down to pummel the watchtowers like a rain of meteors. Cadoc hurtled downwards and through the closing gates.
Morbus!
Gardas cried. He heard the Lord Relictor strike the deck with his staff and felt the galley tremble. Lightning sheared away from the vessel to rampage across the gateway. The leering faces twisted, becoming grimaces of pain and shock. Watchtowers were set aflame, and hapless vessels were reduced to smouldering wreckage as they swept by them. And then they passed the gates of despondency and entered the hopeless city. Enyo swooped around the blazing length of chain. She drew an arrow from her quiver and loosed it, plucking a periwig-wearing rider from its grotesque rotfly. The demons boiled upwards from within the round hive of the city, emerging from off-kilter apertures and upside-down portcullises in a solid cloud. The hopeless city was a lunatic's dream. It resembled the interior of a colossal, hollowed-out tower, many leagues across and of seemingly infinite height, with crooked streets and skeletal buildings that looped and jutted in every direction at once. The city was in constant motion, built as it was against the grindstone tiers of the garden. Its blocks and districts slowly rasped against one another, filling the air with spurting clouds of noxious dust. Water cascaded down through crazily angled aqueducts, spilling out over parts of the city in cacophonous arcs and jets. Oily vapor mingled with dust to create a greasy pall over everything. Ships rode the jets of water to and fro, heedless of the pull of gravity. She swooped by a trimasted galley moving vertically up a waterfall. The deformed faces of the crew were twisted in confusion, and perhaps fear, as they watched her plummet past them. Below Enyo, Kadok roared out prayers and imprecations as he plunged through the horde of plague drones, his starblade carving him a path. The Prince of Ekran was many things, but hesitant wasn't one of them. To him, more enemies only meant more chances to show the strength of his faith. Enyo banked, loosing two more arrows in quick succession. These demons were of a different sort to those they'd encountered earlier. They wore filth-encrusted, foppish uniforms beneath corroded armor, and basket helmets decorated with stylized insect mandibles. Some carried crude lances or hunting spears, while others waved serrated blades. Her arrows punched through them easily enough, however they were clad. Periphas streaked ahead of her, clawing at the compound eyes of the rotflies. The Star Eagle's hunting cry pierced the muggy air. She rolled through the air, letting the edges of her wings caress the abdomens of a pair of flies. The insects convulsed as the shimmering feathers ate through their flesh like acid. Their riders were thrown from their saddles and tumbled away, striking bridges and walkways before vanishing into the gloom below. Enyo spun in a tight gavotte as she drew an arrow from her quiver. Her last, as it happened. She felt the electric tingle of the six smiths' enchantments as new shafts appeared, refilling the quiver. But there were fewer arrows than there ought to have been, and they were taking longer to reform. The enchantments were fading the longer they stayed in this place. She pushed the thought aside and loosed the arrow she held, piercing the brain of a darting rotfly. She reached for another. Above and behind her, the galley thundered through the heart of the city, its hull wreathed in cobalt fire and lightning. A tower of stone burst as the lightning played across it. A bridge crafted from the jawbone of some long-dead monstrosity was reduced to splinters. A vessel sank into a torrent of water, a smoking wreckage. The inhabitants of the city fled in all directions as the galley passed, leaving destruction and fire in its wake. Wailing demons danced in agony as they were caught by the strobing light of Kadok's beacon, or consumed by lightning. Lord Celestant Gardas stood braced on the prow of the galley, Kadok's chain of light wrapped about his arms and torso. She didn't understand how the magic worked, but she had faith that it did, and would, until Sigmar decided otherwise. And when that moment came, they would die as the God-King willed, as only the faithful could. Such fatalism would have once been alien to her. In Lost Cypria, the inevitable was to be fought. Hope was doctrine. But Cypria was gone, and soon she would be as well. This place would claim them all, but their deaths would have meaning. That she believed. The Stormcast Eternals were the arrows in Sigmar's quiver, to be drawn, knocked, and loosed when the time came. And if this was her time, she welcomed it. A shout from below caught her attention. Kadok gestured downwards with his starblade. Beyond the glow of his beacon, she saw a second, smaller gateway, reminiscent of the one they'd used to enter the city. It was closing. Mechanisms of rusty iron and mushroom-covered wood clicked and stuttered as gangs of mortal rotbringers labored beneath lashes wielded by demon overseers. The mortals hauled on chains, forcing ancient hinges to swing shut. Her wings folded, adding to her speed. She loosed three arrows in quick succession, dropping a rotbringer with each. The operation stuttered to a halt as the rotbringers panicked. Enyo sent a fourth arrow into the skull of one of the demonic overseers as it tried to restore order. Rotflies swarmed towards her, their riders droning curses. She banked sharply and began to ascend, as Tegras and two of his prosecutors swooped past, summoning their hammers. She drew the plague drones up and away as the prosecutors sent their hammers hurtling down onto the gate mechanisms. Smoke and fire belched from the gateway as demons and mortals fled the destruction. The gates themselves hung half shut, and the prosecutors slammed into them, forcing them to open. Kadok led the galley through, and the fury of the vessel's passage finished the task the prosecutors had begun. Lightning ricocheted through the demonic mechanisms and set the postulant wood aflame. Demons squealed as they burned in the ensuing conflagration. Enyo plunged through the billowing smoke, Periphas beside her. The bird's plumage shone like the stars it had once called home. More gates waited ahead. She lost count after the fifth. Each one sealed off a new level of horrors. Streets made from leprous tissue and buildings crafted from screaming, infected bodies. A district built from innumerable square blocks of crimson-veined stone, the facets of which were marked with yowling, bestial faces. Pleasure palaces of pus raised up from within city-sized wounds. A market full of fleshy tents and inhuman merchants whose strange wares wept and howled. A garden of singing flowers, their bulbous blossoms wet with unshed tears. All these things and more she saw as she followed Karok's beacon into the darkness. Legions of demons, some in periwigs and armor, others in hauberks of wormskin, and some clad only in the filth of their creation, mobilized in the streets and alleys around the galley, racing to cut them off. Plague drones hurtled in their wake, not quite fast enough to catch up, but gaining with every obstacle. Tegris and his prosecutors dropped back to dissuade them, and judicators loosed volley after volley into the streets around them. But it wasn't simply the inhabitants who were opposed to them. The city itself seemed to be contracting around them. Walls and streets pressed close, and the omnipresent rumble drowned out all but the loudest of her thoughts. She recited the canticles of faith as she descended, drawing strength from the words set down by the first of the faithful. And then she saw it, their quarry. The black galley sped along a concourse of water far ahead. It sailed perpendicular to their course, moving downwards. Tattered sails plumped with an ill wind, it crested a torrent and dropped to a parallel course. They had the lead, but she could catch them. They were sailing towards another gate, larger by far than the rest, and more ornate. Like the others, it resembled a massive trapdoor, albeit with pimple-like watchtowers rising from its surface. It was shaped like a sneering, demonic countenance. Bloated and toad-like, it seemed to gaze up at the approaching vessels with something akin to pleasure. The huge winches and pulleys encrusting its outer rim went into motion, and the face split in two as it began to swing open. The black galley would be through it in moments.
"Periphas! Find Tegris!" she called.
The prosecutors would notice the gate soon, but not soon enough. She had to slow it down. Enyo raced in pursuit. Her bowstring thrummed as she sent arrow after arrow whistling down towards the vessel. Demons were knocked from the deck, their bodies tumbling up past her before vanishing into the torrent of water. She caught sight of the hulking figure of the ship's captain on the aft deck. A bloated, betentacled monster with a single-bladed axe resting on one shoulder. The creature twitched a tentacle towards her, as if in invitation. She loosed an arrow in reply. The arrow streaked down, gathering speed as it punched through the air. At the last moment, a glistening tentacle snapped out and snared it. The shimmering tip halted, mere inches from the captain's featureless helm. The tentacle twitched, and the arrow snapped, releasing a burst of searing light. The captain tossed the pieces away with a roar, audible even at such a distance. Enyo folded her wings, adding speed to her descent. She had to reach them. She could see Lord Castellan Grimm bound to the mast, sagging in his chains. She could not tell whether he still lived. She muttered a quiet prayer as she closed the gap. If she could just reach him, she might be able to pluck him free before his captors could stop her. Glowing hammers whirled past her, sending up sprays of water to either side of the black galley. Prosecutors shot by. A hammer exploded against the galley's hull, rocking it in the water. One of the winged warriors sped towards the captain. A hammer snapped down and was intercepted by the haft of the monstrous axe. For a moment, the two struggled across the heaving deck, trading blows. Then, more quickly than she thought possible, the captain whipped his axe out in a blow that tore through the prosecutor's chest and shoulder. The prosecutor fell back, struck the rail, and tumbled away and up. Even now, after having seen the others who'd fallen here, she was taken aback by the lack of dissolution. The body didn't dissolve, didn't rupture into a thousand motes of lightning. Instead, it remained in one piece, his soul trapped within. To let his body vanish into the depths of this place would be to consign him to eternal torment. The prosecutor's body hurtled past her, trailing lightning. Instinctively, Enyo turned. She snagged the corpse's ankle and drew him near to her, even as she turned to continue her descent. Below her, she saw the galley vanish through the gateway. The gateway slammed shut with an echoing crunch, and she landed atop it with a crash. Demons spilled from the watchtowers and lurched towards her across the steeply angled surface. Dozens of rotting, rancid bodies pressed in on her from every direction. Those first to reach her thrust barbed spears at her as their droning chants assailed her ears. She backed away, still cradling the body of the prosecutor. Then came a shriek from above. Periphas swooped over her head, talons extended. A plague-bearer reeled back, wailing as the Star Eagle clawed out its single eye. A moment later, Tegras and his remaining prosecutors landed in a clap of thunder. Celestial hammers lashed out, pulping inhuman flesh.
"Lady Enyo, are you well?"
Tegras asked, as he swatted a plague-bearer from its feet.
"I am, but your warrior is not."
She booted a demon in its split abdomen, doubling it over. As it staggered, she caught it in the jaw with her knee, snapping its head back. It stumbled into Tegras's hammer, and its head burst like an overripe fruit.
"I was not quick enough. I sent them ahead to aid you," the Prosecutor Prime said, his voice harsh with emotion. "But our foe escaped again. Again!"
He made a sound that was almost a snarl, and whirled about to fling one of his hammers towards the distant control mechanisms. The hammer gathered speed as it plunged through the demonic ranks, and its glow grew brighter until it shone like a falling star. When it struck the winches and pulleys, it did so with a cataclysmic roar. The gateway dropped away beneath them, and the demons fell, howling into the void. Below them, Enyo saw a great expanse stretching out into infinity. They'd breached the last gate of the city and passed through it. The fifth tier of Nurgle's garden awaited them. She felt a tremor go through her, and for a moment she thought that the emptiness below twisted suddenly into an inhuman countenance, as wide as the realm itself, and possessed of a malevolence far beyond the limits of her experience. Eyes like dying suns stared up at her, and she felt her soul shudder in its envelope of flesh and bone.
"Gardas was right! It is a trap!"
Tegras said, his voice hoarse with fear. She felt some relief that she wasn't alone in witnessing the apparition, but not much.
"The Plague God is waiting for us!"
The great eyes suddenly blinked, as if stung. Light swelled above them, and Enyo felt her fears diminish as the radiance spilled over her. She looked up and saw Kadok and the galley approaching. In their wake, the capital city of Nurgle's realm burned with cobalt fire. Rotflies tumbled from the air around them, caught by lightning and arrow. The way was clear. The hopeless city had been conquered.